Well, good morning. We're continuing in our series on the Westminster Confession of Faith. And this is we're looking this morning at the final paragraph of chapter 8, which is on Christ the Mediator. Let me read that with you now. To all those for whom Christ has purchased redemption, he does certainly and effectually apply and communicate the same, that is, that same redemption, making intercession for them and revealing unto them in and by the word the mysteries of salvation, effectually persuading them by his Spirit to believe and obey and governing their hearts by his word and Spirit, overcoming all their enemies by his almighty power and wisdom, in such a manner and ways as are most consonant to his wonderful and unsearchable dispensation. Well, this final paragraph on Christ our Mediator serves as a bridge to take us from Christ's accomplishment of our redemption in history to his application of that redemption in our lives. For it was not for nothing that Christ died. No, he always had in view all those who were his. Before he purchased redemption, he had already decided each person that would receive the gift that he would buy at the price of his own life. Since this was Christ's purpose from the beginning, we can be sure of how it will end. He will certainly apply and communicate that redemption. This is all according to God's plan. He does not simply hope that what he's done will work for the good of his people. He doesn't simply hope that it will be applied to us. No, he makes sure that his work is effectively communicated to each child of God. Nothing less than this could have been in view when our Lord spoke to that vast gathering on the Sea of Galilee. There Jesus told those that were listening that whoever comes to me, I will never drive them away. These are some of the sweetest words that sinners can hear, aren't they? Whoever you are, wherever you come from, you can turn to the Savior and you will find him already waiting to accept you. But Jesus says more than that here. Just as important, it's just as important to remember the first half of that verse where Jesus confidently states the corresponding truth that all that the Father gives me will come to me. And he can say this because he certainly and effectively applies all that he does. These parallel truths that are taught to one crowd in John 6 are taught to another in John 10. There our Lord reminds us that he did not lay down his life for the good of the world in some abstract sense. No, he laid down his life for his sheep. And he is sure that they will hear the good news and that they will respond to the call of the good shepherd. For they will listen to his voice, he says. The work that Christ has begun, he will surely complete. Paul tells us in Romans 8 that sinners like ourselves can be sure to find salvation and not condemnation because Christ is interceding for us. And John tells us that Christ advocates our cause in heaven just as he once propitiated for our sins on earth. Here and elsewhere, we see Christ revealing unto us in and by the Word the mysteries of salvation. This revelation of God is a great sign of his love towards us. And we're told this often in Scripture. Jesus told his disciples that in John 15. On the one hand, we know that he is our friend. Why? Because he laid down his life for us. On the other hand, we also know that he is our friend, or that we are his friends, because he makes known to us what he has learned from the Father. Both of those things, Jesus says, proves his friendship. Ephesians 2 reminds us of the same truth in a different way. God lavished his love on us. How? By showing us the riches of his grace, but also by showing us his good pleasure by making known to us the mystery of his will in Christ. And in his prayer to our Father, our Lord Jesus rejoiced that he had revealed the Father to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, Jesus said. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Well, God is so good. He gave us his Son, and in his Son, he gives us all things. In so many ways, we remain unworthy, of course, of these gifts and unable to see the wonder of them. And so he intercedes for us and he reveals himself to us. Well, as we seek to understand the work that Christ has authored and is now perfecting, we need to understand that it is Christ working in us by his Holy Spirit. The Spirit that filled Christ is the same Spirit that fills us. Christ is effective in all that he does as he works in us by his Spirit. The work of the Spirit is all-encompassing, for it is he who helps us in the Christian faith and life. He is the Spirit of faith, and he persuades us to believe, 2 Corinthians says. And he is the Spirit who controls and leads us, and he persuades us to obey, as Romans 8 points out. Christ uses the power of the Holy Spirit to govern our hearts, and the Holy Spirit makes us holy by his word, the Bible. It's in the Bible that we find the way of salvation and sanctification. There they are laid out for us. And so this is Jesus' prayer to his Father for all of his people, that they would be sanctified by the truth. And of course, he clarifies that God's word is truth. Well, given how indispensable the Spirit is to all that we are and to all that we hope to be, how good it is that our Lord promised that this Spirit would abide with us forever. By this same Spirit, Christ not only overcomes all of our sins, but he also overcomes all of our enemies by his almighty power and wisdom. Although God's enemies fight and squirm, he can take one and all, and he can use them as his footstool, the Psalms tell us. All his enemies, from first to last, will be put under his feet. And one day, as the Bible tells us, God will even trample on them. These are solemn words, but they are to be remembered. In a very real way, this work was already begun while Christ was on earth. For having disarmed the powers and authorities that were, he made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them by the cross, Colossians tells us. We, of course, could never express such wrath or exercise such judgment in an appropriate way, at least not while we are on earth in this world. That is why we leave judgment to God, because he does do and always will do all things well. Almost needless to say, our Lord Jesus Christ overcomes all his enemies and all of our sin and even death itself, as he does all things in a manner that is in perfect harmony with his wonderful arrangement of all the world, and in a way that exposes the unsearchable greatness of our mediator, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we praise you for Jesus Christ, our mediator. For he is the one who has redeemed us. It is he who intercedes for us at your right hand. It is he who governs our hearts by his Holy Spirit. It is through him that he will overcome, and that we will overcome in him. We pray that all the blessings that are reserved for those who will overcome our sin and struggles and trials and suffering, we pray that those blessings would be given to us, even this day as we worship you, and every day as we seek to serve you. And we ask that you would do this by Christ's Spirit, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.